This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. C-Notes coming up here in 20 minutes. We'll take a look at the Cowboys news of the evening right now. We'll focus in on the league at large. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news today.
All right, we'll start in Frisco. Micah Parsons is talking with the media. Our buddy John Machota putting out that Micah said his chances of playing Sunday are high. He said he is going full speed in practice, but he needs to practice in full pads. Quote, I just got to get the feel of the rush. I feel like I'm starting all over. I'm just happy to be where I'm at, says Micah. So the hope is obviously that he plays against Filthy, but maybe tomorrow, he's able to do a little bit more.
And you have a chance with Micah, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But it doesn't sound like Deron Bland. Is it time to be like worried about what's going on with Deron Bland and how that foot's recovering?
I think there was a setback there.
Well, there was. Steven told us there was. Something happened that Friday.
Yeah, I don't know how significant that was. And maybe it's something that, I could dig in on a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe find out.
Because I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Yeah.
Because that can be a weird injury that can, we've seen ruin careers.
Sure. I don't know for that point, but.
No. Is the guy going to play this year at all?
I think with the foot, it's very tricky, and any setback puts into motion scenarios where it could take a year, to come back, and you hope that's not the case. But I think he's still on the far end of the 8 to 10 week range that they gave us. So if he could, come back in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a good shot. But if not, then you're going to be looking at probably a re-aggravation, and it will be in the best interest of everybody to shut him down for the rest of the year.
And at this point, if you keep losing football games, maybe just go ahead and make sure that thing heals. You're completely good and ready to go for 2025. That might be the best case for Deron Bland.
I have no problem with the big picture, a.k.a. tanking, to take a priority here. I look at the quarterback the same way.
I'm with you on that one. Panthers looking to activate rookie running back Jonathan Brooks to the active roster this week. And if he doesn't go on IR for the rest of the season, that is the plan. So, it's basically they either put him on IR and they redshirt him, essentially. Yeah. But I think they're going to activate him. And the expectation in Carolina is he could be ready to go. He's been practicing with the club this week. Christian McCaffrey limited in practice today. Kyle Shanahan said, though he feels no pain, which is very encouraging. I think that was the big concern there. If he starts practicing again, how do the legs feel? But I guess they feel good. So he's still on potentially trending to get back for San Francisco as early as this Sunday, which would be a while to see Christian McCaffrey back. It's like all of a sudden Rams, 49ers, they start getting healthy.
Yeah.
This NFC starts to get a little bit more sticky.
And that's what's tough for the Niners, because I'm sure in a perfect world they would love to be able to stretch this out a little bit longer, because you're still at the midway point or whatever of the season. That's one of those guys you'd love to be able to keep on ice as long as possible, but they don't have that luxury. They're in a dogfight in that division now.
Yeah, everybody's just, Arizona's technically in the lead, but it's just a cluster there with all three of them. Seattle's fading a little bit. I did see this. Apparently, according to Mike Florio, DK Metcalf was not an untouchable at the trade deadline. Pittsburgh was calling, trying to get DK as they were hunting for wide receivers, but Seattle wanted a first
round.
John
proved that when he got rid of Russell Wilson, that he'll trade anybody. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
I know that Russ was kind of on his way out, But I feel like if you called John Schneider and asked him about his players,
you give an offer that he wants.
You give an offer and he'll look at it. He ain't going to sit there and just laugh at you and hang up the phone. I mean, I know John well enough that he's, you know, he's not married to any of these guys right now.
Yeah, they'd have taken a first for DK Metcalf. That's what it would have taken. So, I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, I don't know. Evidently that was too rich because they pivoted and went with Mike Williams for a five. But interesting. I mean, I wonder if some Steeler fans out there are like, damn it, I would have liked to have DK Metcalf for a first-round pick.
Sure.
Him and George Pickens could have been fun. But then, yeah, him reuniting with Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know about that relationship, but maybe they're buddies.
Yeah.
Then we've got, you mentioned the Bills. They signed Quentin Jefferson, who got cut yesterday, defensive tackle from the Browns. Also Jordan Phillips. So they're beefing up the middle of that defensive front there.
They need to. They need to do something because that game was eye-opening a couple weeks ago versus Baltimore, where you got completely just caved in defensively.
Yeah.
And Kansas City can do the same thing to you. Not as explosively, of course, but they can just grind you down with heavy personnel and running it down your throat, and Buffalo's not prepared defensively to handle that.
Then Trevor Lawrence is dealing with a shoulder issue. He could miss Week 10 against the Vikings. And Trevor Lawrence is kind of at this point of his career now where I'm just wondering, is this who he is? And he had a great year. Really, it was a great second half of a season.
Yeah, two seasons ago now.
But the rest of it has just been underwhelming and poor. And, you know, we gave him the benefit of the doubt with the Urban Meyer year.
For sure.
But, I mean, Doug Peterson's done good things with quarterbacks. I mean, he is a guy who's won a Super Bowl. Clearly,
he might be on his way out.
He is. I mean, I don't think he's going to be back next year with Jacksonville, but I wouldn't say like Doug Peterson's a guy that's going to ruin a quarterback. I mean, this just might be Trevor Lawrence is just an average quarterback at best right now, and that's maybe how we need to look at him and not one of these potential top 10 caliber guys.
Worst place to be, man. He got the fatty boomba, and now he might just be a literal jag.
Yeah, you know, you can't pay that kind of money for average. It's just so difficult. With toolsy guys, you're going to draft them high. You're going to give them that second contract. But I think at this point, you have to be willing to move on as an organization. That might be tough, considering the pedigree of the player. But I think the smartest organizations are, you know. And I think it just underscores the reality that out of all the accuracy and the cannon and the ability to run, the pocket awareness, it's decision making. And you cannot like scout that perfectly. Not even close, you know. What's going on in the dude's head? How fast does he make decisions? How poised is he in there? You're just guessing at all that stuff as you're watching him play in a variety of circumstances in college.
Well, and right now, that's the big issue for him. Everything looks like it's moving so fast. He just doesn't seem like he's able to really slow the game down and process it. I mean, that interception that he threw at the end of the game where they got a chance to steal one from the Eagles.
Yeah.
It was just, what are you doing? You know, and you're at the stage in your career now where you need to have shown growth to that point.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore. I don't know if I'm holding out hope for Trevor.
These teams have to be willing to, like you said, Dawson, not be married to the idea of giving him the second contract. It's not that he's a terrible player. It's just that for the dollar amount, I'm going to have to pay you you're going to reset the market. Mm-hmm. And now it's since been reset again, but that's what Trevor Lawrence was going to do. And you have to just know now. You've seen him for 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Like the sample size is there, dude. You don't fool yourself.
Right.
It's not like you're giving him a Baker Mayfield contract right now. He's trying to reset the market.
Really?
And has he given you any inclination other than an 8-week stretch over the course of the last 4 or 5 years? The answer was no.
No.
But they just can't admit it to themselves. And now you're in a disaster.
I love that. I think that we should have these two different standards with the quarterbacks. We've got like the Baker level where we're going to pay those type of guys like that.
Baker,
money.
Geno.
We're not. I mean, honestly, like, could you have thrown Dak into that category?
Yes.
He's closer to that category than he is the Mahomes category.
I would have loved the idea
of what we've seen this year.
Paying Dak would have been great if they were talking about doing it for Baker and Geno money, but that was never the conversation.
The only thing I would add to it is if you are committed to building and doing whatever it takes to open up a championship window and then throw money at it, you can win. You know, I think Trevor's similar to Dak, that you better have a really good defense with a good pass rush. You better have the running game and the protection and, you know, at least two, probably three really good weapons in the pass game. You can't hold a team together like that together for long, right? It's going to be a very brief window. If you're willing to go for it, I think it absolutely can work. And it might be a better idea than trying to find another quarterback on the rookie scale, hoping that he's the next Mahomes. We're getting one of these GOAT-type dudes that can carry teams like one a decade, right? So I think staying with a guy like Dak or Lawrence can work as long as your organization understands who the guy really is.
Agreed on that. Yeah.
I just think you have to do the all-in build around when the quarterback's on the rookie deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you have to do it. And then at that point, if it hasn't worked out for you, now you're at year four, year five, and you say, okay, it hasn't worked. We've built around you when you were on the cheap, and now everything's going to become more difficult for you because you're going to be eating up so much salary cap.
Sure.
It's not going to work.
4-3-5, I think he's in a Matthew Stafford similar comparison here. I think if you put him in the right environment with the right team, he's got potential to succeed. So you could be right. I mean, people were writing off Jared Goff, and now look at him in Detroit. I mean, sure. We have seen this with some of these quarterbacks, and I hope that, you know, but, for Trevor Lawrence. But so far, it's been underwhelming from what we've seen.
Even with Goff, though, we haven't seen him sustain top of the market money and be on a good team.
Yeah.
He just got the money, but it's not coming into effect. They still have the super stacked team that they have right now. In a year or two, when the Lions probably don't have their OC anymore, when they're probably not able to pay X guy, Y guy, because you're paying Goff, now Goff, go be the guy. And most of these guys just cannot do it.
Well, Deshaun Watson is another one who certainly has not been able to be the guy in Cleveland. And it sounds like he might be on his way out. We might have seen the last of Deshaun Watson in Browns uniform because their GM, Andrew Berry, declined to give a yes or no if there was a possibility he could be designated for a post June 1st cut. And they asked him, could he possibly be back next year? He was noncommittal when it comes to quarterbacking the team. Will he ever suit up with the team again? He said, I mean, it's always possible.
Hmm.
So to me, it's wow. Like if you that's your franchise quarterback. If somebody says, is he suiting up again, and he's your guy, you're saying, yes, absolutely. If you're thinking, we're probably moving on here, that's when you say, it's possible. You know, I'm not going to say no, but just reading between the lines there.
That's not the plan.
I would lean betting. Like, if I was going to Vegas, I would lean Watson maybe has played his last down there in Cleveland.
What do you guys, do you know, what would you guess the dead money is left on Deshaun Watson's contract after this year?
Like the totality or the whatever.
Like, how big of a hit are they going to have to spread out between 2 years if they do post June 1 him?
Isn't it like over $150 million?
It is. It's 172. Yeah.
72.
172, bro.
Yes. But we did the worst trades ever. Like, that's going to look like a top five worst trade ever.
That's number one.
Might be my number one.
You're not only going to lose the quarterback, you're going to lose multiple veterans that are, you know, going to be cap casualties.
Especially if we got the, what has Houston done then with the picks?
Yeah.
I think it's probably some pretty good players. I think, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson Jr. are one of them part of that. I don't know.
Maybe both.
My God. That's a bad deal.
All you had to do was wait a couple of more years, and the idiot Panthers would have taken Bryce Young off your hands. C.J. Stroud would have fallen into your lap from your freaking state.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
It gets no worse.
Speaking of the Houston Texans, I sent this over to Carter, but they're going to debut their battle red jerseys and chrome helmets against the Lions on Sunday Night Football.
Who's this?
The Houston Texans. So they're all red jerseys. The chrome helmets are pretty dope as well. The number is in black with Texans in white font written on top of the number, and then some black trim on the shoulder pads. I love these. I think these should be their permanent uniforms because the ones they wear now are just too much like Atlanta. I feel like anytime I put a Texans game on, it's at the Falcons. They need. I think they need to go to this all red look. This should be permanent. Just go ahead and do it.
Shiny candy apple red dome is sick.
It's awesome.
I just don't like their number font.
I don't either,
you know?
But
the all red
is better than I think their traditional, what they've been rocking with this year.
It's sharp.
At least I'm like, okay, that's the Houston Texans playing right now. I'm not wondering, is this another football team? But I'm excited. That's going to be a fun matchup. Houston's offense is struggling right now. Can they get that going? Joe Mixon's running the ball really well. Yeah. Hopefully Nico Collins can come back and play. That's still iffy right now. Speaking of wide receivers.
It is a big week for red, Wolchuk.
It is.
Yeah.
No doubt. It certainly was. Matthew Stafford, we'll get to in a second as we look at the quarterback power rankings, but Joey Burrow, as one of his receivers that missed a game, it was Jermaine Burton. He skipped a walkthrough. Now, he's a rookie receiver out of Alabama.
Mm.
He was expected to have a big role this past weekend because they didn't have T. Higgins.
Wasn't he a banged-up guy? wasn't he like a really good little slot player that we were watching, and but he was like was hurt.
I think he did have some injury.
Like a big knee brace kind of guy when you watch one.
I think he might have missed a full year.
Or an elbow. He had something wrong.
Some extended period of time there with the Crimson Tide. But yeah, was a good player. Yeah. Certainly was. And they were able to get him in the middle rounds. Yeah, he's a body catcher. But he was a no-show.
Body snatcher.
For multiple meetings and walkthroughs this week, and Zach Robinson, their head coach, said, well, you are not suiting up and playing. He was a healthy scratch on Sunday for the game, and Joe Burrow spoke to reporters afterwards about the Jermaine Burton deal.
I'm not sure I would say surprised. I think it's always an adjustment when you get to this schedule. You know, it's not college. You're here early. You're here late a couple days, and then you got to do extra stuff outside the building to put yourself in a position to be great. And you know, when it's an adjustment period when you first get into the league, and it's something you got to learn.
Now, I mean,
you got to be professional.
He's right, you got to be a professional. I mean, Jamar Chase was also talking about it today, and basically said he needs to get his head out of his rear. The issue
basically said it, or he said it.
I mean, you know, paraphrasing a little bit. Those weren't the words that he used. He showed up to the game in pajamas. Now, I don't know that that's really a big deal.
Wait, who did?
Jermaine Burton.
Burton did.
But there was a picture earlier of him taken at a casino, just playing at the slot machine all by himself in the same clothes. So it's like, okay, well, we know it was him.
Okay, yes. That sounds a little mental healthy.
Right.
You know, showing up in PJs.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it wasn't a hospital gown, you know, if you're ranking things you could be wearing that would set off alarm bells.
Hey, I get it. Like,
that's the biggest alarm bell, isn't it?
Yes, you go from college to the pros, there's going to be differences here, but
hospital gown at the slot machine. that would be worse.
That's oh, I've got a problem here. That's where we admit it.
I know those young kids love the PJs, though.
They do.
They wear them to school and everything. Wear them all the time.
I guess you might as well be comfortable if you're going to be hanging out at the slot machine. You know, you're just sitting there pushing a button. Might as well be cozy while I do it.
Sloppiest generation when it comes to style and swag and sauce. Yeah. I say that respectfully, because y'all do dress up when y'all put the drip on. But other than that, man, it's just look like get out of bed, go to school.
Yep.
Yeah. Those pajama pants are big.
Yeah.
Short back
slides, hoodie.
Slides, hoodie, sweatpants.
It's not like us doing radio.
The Crocs, the house shoes. Yeah. I mean,
Same house shoes, same hoodie, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, starts to smell a little bit.
It is LSU Alabama week, so maybe Burrow and Chase were giving my man some grief. You know, they're going after
him. Well, I mean, it sounds like it was kind of warranted here. I want the best for Jermaine Burton, but I mean, there is, you know, we got to get out of the college mentality here.
We'll update a couple of Cowboys stories here with you as we get into the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening is coming up.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Next on the Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online at frankelfirm.com. It was a big winning night in the elections for the Dawson household. As the town of Sunnyvale passed 3 bonds for building stuff at the school district, including a new multi-use athletic facility.
So excited about that. They got a some sort of a medical clinic going in. I think it was like $160 million they hit us for. But it's always cool to see money going to the school districts. Okay, we got NFL stuff here with the Cowboys and Jane Slater tweeting, Mike McCarthy asked about crashing his tablet on the sidelines in Sunday's loss. Started with a joke to the reporter, but then made sure to clarify he didn't want to make light of it and how embarrassed he was that he did that. I always think those are, you know, like the kind of viral moments you want as a coach to show your intensity. But I guess for a guy like Mike, he doesn't want to, you know, lose his cool and show too much sports passion. I think, I don't know, how's Dan Campbell react to that? How's more of a caveman coach react to that? I think you own it, you know, maybe a chuckle.
I could see him like taking it and like smashing it on his own face.
Yeah. You
know? Like Dan Campbell would be, he would take it to a completely different level. Probably just snap it with his bare hands.
He
wouldn't even throw it on the ground.
He could.
But you do love to see some of that passion. I still want to know if that was that frustration from what he was seeing on the field from his team, or was the tablet just freezing up on him?
Could happen. You know, those tablets can be very frustrating.
Well, and expensive. This isn't the good old days where you broke a clipboard and everybody's just like, no problem. You know, somebody perked up in there and was like, gosh dang it.
Yeah.
That's a $400 bill.
So sometimes the Wi-Fi can be tricky. You get all those people in the building at the same time.
They weren't at AT&T.
Yeah. Mike said Cooks and Lawrence will not be activated for practice today, but both are moving around good. I don't know. This Cooks thing, man, seems kind of scary. You get an infection like that.
Yeah.
You know,
the fact that he's being mentioned with Tank in the same, like,
they're, I know, because we knew Tank was going to be a long time.
This doesn't sound very good right now. This situation, I'm again trying to run that one down too. But yeah, the fact that they're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, neither one of them are going to do anything. It's like,
yeah,
it's not like he said, yeah, Cooks will be back in, you know, this time, and then Tank, we know it's going to take a little bit longer. I mean, he put them both in the same, and we kind of feel like that Tank is going to be a lot longer.
Yeah, it might be one of those deals where, like, you get a wound, though, and if it gets infected with that staff, and then on a football field, you know, in that turf, you know, I think it might just be like a further infection risk. Maybe I'm feeling fine, but until the wound has totally closed up, you know, you go to a wound care specialist. I've experienced with this recently. Abby got bit by a spider last summer. It cratered. It was like the size of a quarter and maybe like a half inch deep at one point, right? And so she couldn't go in the pool all summer. She had to miss out on a lot of stuff. She had to be careful that she wasn't sliding on it because it would open back up, you know, real easily. So
how many weeks you think? That was a couple months?
That was probably a 12-weeker, you know, for it to totally heal.
Right.
And now I don't know what the nature of his wound was, but when you're like out with an infection for at least a month, that's where, like, you start to think about, man, we got to shut this thing down and, you know, go into a high-risk type of situation because you don't want one of those infections going on for too long. It can get bad. He said they still have not made a decision on moving Dak Prescott to the IR yet. I know we were talking the last hour about maybe a report at the top of the hour, but we're not hearing anything new yet, Brian?
Not yet. Nothing yet. I'm still, again, trying to work on some things. There's a couple different angles. We'll see if that gets out. And hopefully by the end of the show, I'll have something for you if that's the case.
Yes, sir. That'd be great. Wanye Thomas in concussion protocol and not practicing. Mm-hmm. As far as the Mingo thing, McCarthy did confirm what Brian told you. They're trusting their draft grades when it comes to Mingo. Said that Cowboys had a third-round grade on him, as Brian told you there at the top of the show, was a 30 visit at the Star in 2023.
Top of the third round, 130 was the number.
Yeah, it's an interesting, like, conversation. How do you weigh what we just saw from our college evaluation now, like, a year and a half in the pros? Mm. You know, I mean, how far removed from college do you no longer go back to what was our evaluation then?
Yeah, I think, you know, within the first month of the season, if the guy's not performing and he looks a little busty, I'm starting to get a little worried, you know, and then mid-season you're evaluating right now, you know, and by the time you're at the end of the first year, if it's terrible like Mozzie Smith, I think at that point you're like, this is the last shot. Like, how's he show up in training camp? You know, you digest all those lessons, you figure out what your body needs to execute the job a little bit better. And by the time we're a month into the second season, I think at that point, the college evaluation for me is almost useless. Brian, how would Scout Brian answer that question?
Yeah, I think you get to a certain point in time, though, that you do have 2 years, well, a year and a half at least, looking at the player. I think you probably could have an idea. I I think the evaluation part of it, too, is I keep talking about the quarterback situation at Carolina. You know, I would have a hard time of really evaluating. I had a hard time watching the tape, you know, when I was showing you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, Eric and I were laughing at each other. There was one throw that was like, just, no, what the hell?
I was like, was that the red rifle?
Yeah, this guy has absolutely no shot. So yeah.
You give him a little bit of extra time because he's in a dumpster fire.
You do. Absolutely do. I don't think any of us have a problem with going out and trying to get players.
Not at all.
We have problems with the compensation when the team is not playing very well right now, because that compensation could be significant in trying to help you get this thing back on track. You know, especially for a team that likes to draft and develop. And I personally, please don't let this be a situation where all of a sudden you want to get back in the fourth round in day three to start the day, and now you have to give two more picks to trade with somebody to get in. So now you used basically three picks, you know, to try and get something done.
Brutal. Tough asset management once again for this Cowboys front office. I'm flirting with the idea of asking Steven on Friday, like, don't you think the media or fans have a right to say maybe we know as much as you have about team building with some of these decisions? Like, the string is brutal. I would have to come up with a clever way to word it and maybe give a disclaimer at the beginning. But, like, you guys didn't know the team was bad in training camp. You know, the trade for Phillips, can't evaluate that.
Well, then don't use me in your evaluation because I thought the team was going to be better. I mean, if you want to say that you think that we knew better.
The Phillips one, I understand.
Yeah. I mean,
you're trading for guys that can't play. I don't need, you know, to reference anybody. You know,
no, it's just saying,
the proof's in the pudding.
I know me personally, there's some misevaluations I had of their team this summer, myself. Yeah. That I always look at my evaluation of why something happened. You know, we're just going through an election cycle right now. I'm sure that the Democrats are going to sit down and look at what went wrong. I do the same thing when I go about a football team. I take a lot of pride in coming on and talking about this team. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I could see why there was some misevaluation because I did the same damn thing.
Yeah, but we still picked him to win 9 games. We still had like a big step back. And then the injuries have really compounded everything to make it even worse than what we had originally thought.
Yeah, yeah, the Dak injury, I think, now puts you in a situation where 5-12 is very likely.
Oh,
I think
sure.
From this point forward, if I had to predict, I'd say 6-11 is their most likely end of the season.
That's
two or three more wins.
They don't need, everybody's out there and talking about tanking and stuff. No, just play games. They'll lose games by 5, 6, 7 points. Naturally, that's the way it looks like this team is going to go.
I liked what you said, though, there, Brian. Like, you care, and then you go back and reevaluate it.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll change the way you do it again moving forward.
Absolutely. I think that you have to, you know, when you do this job, you got to look at it. Now, they do it on a level where, you know, it's the wins and losses. I look at it as, like, trying to make sure that our audience understands why. Why do I feel like that this has a possibility or why it doesn't.
And that's a concern. I wonder how much reflection there is when it comes to, you know, the Jones family with that, because there's a lot of the same mistakes that have been made over and over again over the last 3 decades.
I know a big part of their job and the player's job is blocking out the noise, and you don't want to be spending time, you know, thinking about what other people are saying about the job that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think at some point that works against you. Like, oh, no, these people don't know what they're saying. These people don't know what they're saying. And you're going to the people that, you know, are going to say things back to you that you like to hear, you know, and you're going to you're listening a lot, but you're not listening to a variety. You don't have good diversity of thought in the people that are giving you feedback.
Yeah, I think you have to evaluate the people that you have to evaluate the graders. You know, if you're Jerry Jones and you're consistently getting information that's, you know, maybe Jerry Jones didn't want to sign Dak Prescott, and then all of a sudden he's convinced he has to. Or maybe Jerry Jones said, hey, I got to sign Dak Prescott, and nobody else wanted to. You know, there's the evaluations right there. You just can't consistently keep every year listening to the same folks if you're getting bad information. That's what the evaluations that you have to make.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Blogging the boys had three burning questions following the Cowboys' loss to the Falcons. The first one, how does Prescott's injury change perspectives on the rest of 2024? I think it just makes it easy for everybody to acknowledge that this is now about development. It's about getting young players learned up to a point where maybe they can help you make a push back to the playoffs in 2025 or 2026. But like talking wins and losses in the playoffs is just a moot point. Point as we sit here today.
Yeah. And it adds an extra layer of excuse making that they can point to as the season goes on and afterwards to say all the injuries we had last year.
Yeah.
You know, we would have got that thing turned around.
Yeah. Allows, you know, some folks to avoid accountability. That's question two. Does anyone benefit from Prescott's absence, Chief? I think you just answered it.
Boom.
Yeah. The excuse machine is just, it's operating optimally at this point.
Maybe Cooper Rush or Trey Lance, they could earn some money if they go out and play well.
And then is Rico officially running back one now? Without a doubt, should be. Like, if we get Zeke back in the mix after everything that's transpired, we got much bigger things to worry about. So salute to blogging the boys there. Time now for Krusty's Corner, Brian. What are we looking at today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about this Philadelphia offense. I think there's a couple of spots you can maybe try and take advantage of. We'll do that next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, welcome back. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll be firing up some basketball conversation with our buddy Bobby Carella, All-City Dallas. Looking forward to that. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Broadus.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thanks to the folks, too, that were, when I did see the text, a couple of people were saying that they appreciate my talking about John King, my recommendation to watch John King last night.
Was he in his bag?
Did he
meet the moment last night?
I want to thank you as well.
He had his game. He was ready for game day.
He was breaking it down, man.
And everything about him is he's so just calm about it. He's just so calm. And, you know, you're kind of like, well, here's, just tell me what the path to victory is.
He's walking you through every possibility, all the math.
It's such an emotional sport for him to be so composed.
The history of each little region and area.
I used to live in Wisconsin for 5 years. I didn't know about the wow counties, you know, up there. So he was kind of walking me all through them. So, but you folks that reached out to me, you're welcome. I'm glad it helped you.
I couldn't get her to turn it over to CNN. We were on CBS, and I don't know the guy's name, but he was really struggling.
Oh, really?
Really struggling.
Let me tell you, man.
CBS. What's their role? What would be their name? Like, it's the CBS.
I think it's called Election Night. CBS Election Night.
What's the name of that guy?
Oh yeah. No, I
was trying to.
I don't deviate from my guy over there just because he's been on he's covered like 16 of these things. So I'm just kind of like, I think he just explains. He's kind of like my tight end from Carolina. Explaining the
Greg Olson.
He's a Greg Olson. He's just kind of explaining things to me. I like it.
That's a heck of a compliment.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles here. Okay, this is going to be an interesting matchup for you this week. And we can get into the Saquon Barkley stuff. I think he has made a difference here. I think your path to maybe stopping this offense, and I don't think this offensive line is as good as it's been in the past. I think they've got a couple of different spots that maybe, you know, and we'll see with Micah Parsons and now with Carl Lawson a little bit and maybe how they could, if you could get Philadelphia to throw the football. Now, the Dallas run defense has been a struggle. And when the Cowboys have played the Eagles in the past, they've kind of taken advantage of Micah Parsons. You know, we'll see with Micah this week and, you know, his availability. Hopefully he'll be back playing for you. I don't think this quarterback, his numbers are similar to running like he has in the past, but I think it's more out of running because of the offensive line than it is the RPO stuff and things like that.
He's just running away from pressure?
He's running away from pressure. And they're struggling on a couple of different fronts on their offensive line. They're a good run blocking line. I'll give them credit for that. The double team stuff. This Mekhi Becton, who they got from the Jets, who was a tackle, who was a busty kind of tackle with the Jets.
He's a massive human being.
He's a massive human being, but he doesn't have the foot quickness that you'd think about. I mean, the reason they're playing him inside is because he's not a quick guy. So there's where Dallas, you hear about us talk about Dallas and their problem with twist fronts or moving the front. Osa played really, really well for you last week. This is a spot I would look at with Mekhi Becton. And especially if it, now he's so massive in the pass protection and all that, and the coming off in the running game, that's going to be a problem. But if you could get him to have to move with you, there's where I watched a lot of these pressures. I go back, I can break my film down and say, all right, just give me the pressures. You know, they're having problems with Fred Johnson. He's the left tackle. Having problems with him with pressures. Having problems with the guy, the left guard, Landon Dickerson. Pressures there. Becton, the right guard, he doesn't move as quick. You know, Cam Jurgens at center, they still do things like what they used to do with Kelsey when the center's uncovered, let's pull and get him out in space and Saquon Barkley, he's done a really, really good job for them running the football. I think he's completely helped Jalen Hurts in this offense with his ability. You're going to have to worry about him not only running the ball, but in the passing game. Two wheel routes. Watch both these wheel routes. Two touchdowns. Just off wheel routes. You know. Now, I will say this. Him and Kenneth Gainwell, if they stay in and block, they give up some sacks. They give up some pressures. So, this game is, to me, if you're going to have any real success against the Eagles, you're going to have to force these guys to throw the football. A.J. Brown is dealing with the knee injury. Dallas Goedert is dealing with a hamstring. If I had to say, what order would you say you have to, in importance of dealing with this Philadelphia offense? I'm going to take Barkley out of it just because we understand the running part of it. Throwing the football, you're going to have to deal with Smith. And then if Goddard plays, I would be worried about him. And then I would worry about Brown third is how I would play this out. Now,
oh, wow.
That's interesting because they have not won a game that A.J. Brown did not start.
I know. But I just, in watching the film and what this quarterback does.
Yeah.
You know, Brown, don't get me wrong, Brown's a nice player. I think when Jalen Hurts gets in trouble,
okay,
or he's like his.
I remember that from last year. He would look for Devontae Smith.
His progression is give me the hook or the hitch, give me the cross with Smith, or give me the post with Smith. I think Brown, and then what you have with Dallas Goedert is the middle of the field stuff, the block, and kind of what you saw from Kittle. You know, you don't need to get in one of these games again like you did against San Francisco where you put Wilson on Kittle and then said, oh, that's how we're going to roll. This could be – I think you need to treat Dallas Goedert if he plays. We'll see with the hamstring, but I'm acting like he's going to play. But I feel like, though, that's the order of progression that I would go with. But maybe this is about with Goddard and others – that I would think about playing McQuamu on him or almost treating him like a wide receiver, because it's not going to be like the down the field stuff like you get from Kittle, but it's underneath. It's the crossing routes. It's the, you know, it's the delay block, and all of a sudden he kind of sneaks out in the route. When you get down the red zone, you're going to have to worry about Smith. That's their guy that they're gonna try and get the ball to down there, because he does a great job of finding that space and getting open. He's really difficult to deal with. You're gonna get this team runs a lot of 12 personnel, which is the one back and two tight end. But in Jacksonville last week, they went a lot of 11 personnel. They must have felt like that they had a better match. Now it might have been because of Dallas Goedert being out too. Calcaterra. The other tight end, I think, is a good player. He's a guy that when they get him in route, he does a pretty good job. He's not going to drop any balls. He wears number 81. And they played Jack Stoll last week. And so they were down with Dallas Goedert. I think that's why they played so much 11 personnel. But if Goddard's back, I would expect them to have to get back into their 12 personnel stuff. And that helps them in their running game. But man, I'll tell you what, this offensive line, if you can get them to have to play in pass protection, that's going to be the trick in this one. If you want to have a chance, I think, to kind of slow these guys down.
I mean, you purposely avoided Saquon Barkley in there, but is this a situation they don't have to pass that much?
Well, I think that Barkley is going to, and I know I just took a little pause. Barkley has, and I mentioned this, he's done a great job for him, for the Eagles. They put him in that sidecar look with a shotgun snap, hand him the ball. He still is able to make cuts. He's powerful. He's got the vision and things. Cowboys have done a pretty good job in their history against him, but that's with the Giants with no offensive line, no quarterback, no real skill guys. I mean, he was the focus. He doesn't have to be the focus in this offense, but he's played up to his billing. He really, really has.
From study, like, obviously we see them twice a year, but do you notice any Kellen Moore differences with the way that the plays they're running, any of the design, like what they're doing offensively?
I think he has, his plays are better because Jeff Southland, the offensive line coach, is a better coach. And I think that some of the stuff in the running game that they do,
more creative,
much more. Yeah, and
that's really what he needed help with.
Yeah, that's what he absolutely. I mean, we've talked about that with the guy at the Commanders, you know, Cliff Kingsbury. All of a sudden, hey, I don't have a real running game, and now I'm, you know, you go out and you learn some things, pick up some things. I think Kellen Moore, with him being with the Chargers, and then but Jeff Southland, who is the offensive line coach,
one of the most respected in the league,
guy is really good at it, and his offensive line, like I say. Run block. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to when we get a chance to talk to Eric Kendricks tomorrow about the. I was watching with Cam, and this is something I just picked up when they're in shotgun, and Becton, he looks back, and as soon as he taps the center, like in a situation like they're going to be in a hostile crowd environment. Right. Well,
I think it's going to be a home. Okay. Philly home
just
crowd.
What I'm saying, there's going to be Cowboy fans at the game yelling, okay, if you can.
Yeah, it'll be a couple.
But the Eagle fans are done. They'll cheer.
But as soon as he taps him, ball snapped.
That's every time?
Every time.
Oh, wow.
As soon as, and I'm kind of thinking.
That's rookie stuff.
If you're going to get off the ball, I'm going to ask him, like, Eric, hey, have you noticed that every time that Becton just, because he touches, he just taps this, he taps Juergens, and then the ball goes. So maybe you could get a little bit of, maybe they're watching film this week and thinking about how to get off the ball a little bit quicker, get into these guys. Because I started picking that up. I'm like, man, every time you touch him, the ball's being snapped.
You snuck in a little busty comment there on Mekhi Becton. Was that a man boobs joke? Is that what you were going for?
No. I was just going to, you know, the busty.
He does have boobs.
Yeah, he's a big man. But they've got
moves.
They've got some problems
from one move guy to another.
They've got some things that you don't let them punish you in the running game. And Barkley can do that. You know, where they get in the pistol formation, hand it to him. Sidecar formation, hand it to him.
I would have to imagine, much like Atlanta and every other team, like they can just go get 5 or 6 yards. Anytime they want it by handing off the football, it feels like.
Their line is capable of doing that, yeah, the way they run.
Well, and the Cowboys' defense in particular, it seems like it doesn't matter who they go up against. That's going to be, unless it's the Giants or the Steelers, I guess, they pretty much don't know how to figure it out. The Eagles have been feasting. I mean, one way to get your offense going is just play a bunch of awful defenses, and they're on a run right now of that. Because you score 15 points versus the Saints in September and 16 versus the Bucks, and then you go play bottom third in the league defense, Browns, bottom third in the league defense, Giants, bottom third in the league, Bengals defense, and then the Jags.
They're on a run.
They're just tearing up bad defenses, and good news for them this week, much the same.
Yeah. If I could, like I say, Fred Johnson, the left tackle, that's where I'd try and get Micah. And I mentioned this, Barkley and Gainwell both poor. If they're trying to double guys, that could be a problem right there. That could be a problem for them because both those guys have given up pressures and they've given up sacks. And Fred Johnson one-on-one, and they leave him one-on-one quite a bit.
I've never even heard of this Fred guy.
Fred Johnson.
Yeah. Is this a new
Freddie J?
We go up against the Eagles offensive line for so many years. Yeah, you get familiar with the names, and all of a sudden they're running out of Fred, and he's turnstile.
Oh no, he
sounds made up.
They got a new look down. He was. He was a college free agent with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the Eagles signed him. I mean, he's been with Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay. This guy's kind of bounced around. You know, Philadelphia had him on the practice squad a couple of years, so he's been in the system now a couple of years.
Sounds like a great week to be getting Micah Parsons back.
Hopefully so.
Signs are pointing towards that. We'll give you an update on that and many other stories. But Bobby Corella from All City Dallas, one of our favorite Mavs guests, is going to join us on the other side, talk about tonight's game with the Bulls and the now walking wounded Mavericks roster. That's coming up next right here, G-Bag Nation, The Fan.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.